This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Here's Hoyer bootleg rollout, rolling to the middle, stepping up. He's got Gabriel wide open. He's got it. First and goal.
Cleveland native, former Browns quarterback and Super Bowl champion Brian Hoyer on the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. Brought to you by Montrose Ford. Choose Click Cruise at MontroseFordAkron.com.
It's Hoyer time, and he joins us right now. He made some waves last week there. How much flack did you actually read about your Joe Milton opinion last week there, Brian?
Yeah, there was, you know what, I was kind of shocked. There was just as many people who didn't like it. There was just as many people who did like it. So it seems to me like kind of goes with what we've been talking about. This draft class of quarterbacks is really not the highest ranked we've seen in the past year. So some people liked the idea. Some people thought I was drinking at 9 a.m. in the morning, which I definitely wasn't. So
drinking at 9 a.m. sounds like a good time. Brian, let me ask you this, though. What do you say to the people then who try to say, well, he's just trying to create a market for Joe Milton, courtesy of the Patriots? What did you say to those folks?
Yeah, I don't work for the Patriots anymore, so I'm not trying to create any market for him.
Brian, that's what somebody would say who's trying to throw people off the scent, too.
Yeah, that's not my responsibility. It's their own responsibility to go out and do that. I think the reason that this is even being talked about is obviously they drafted him in the same draft as Drake May. He doesn't have a long-term future here because Drake May is the future. So I'm not trying to create a market. I did read since then we last talked, it seemed like Dallas had put some interest into potentially trading for Joe Milton, which would be an intriguing backup to Dak Prescott. And actually, the more I thought about it after I got off the phone with you guys, the Patriots are hoping that the Browns do take a quarterback. That way they have the pick of Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter when it comes to number four. So maybe if the Browns do take Abdul Carter, it becomes even a more viable option because then they're hoping that the Giants take Shador. And I heard you guys talking this morning. It sounds like Deion's really pushing Shador towards New York. So it's going to be an interesting first three picks when it comes down to how these actually play out. It really seems like Cam Ward is going to be the number one pick. It seemed like Tennessee sent their whole contingency down to his pro day. I mean, they had their internal social media team there, their film crew, all of that stuff. So it sure seems like they don't care that they're kind of foreshadowing that that's who they're going to take. They like the guy, and they're going to take him. And now it seems to me the more I see, and look, we can all sit here and speculate, and it really doesn't mean anything, but more mock drafts now coming out with the Browns taking Abdul Carter second overall, which you could read the tea leaves. Some of these people are well-informed. I think some people are just going off of speculation, but it does seem to be a big shift away from the Browns taking a quarterback at number two.
I want to ask you about another quarterback coming up here in a bit, but I have to go to this because Now, Lima brought up that he had concerns with it. I'm trying to be fair, but damn it, the more I think about it, the more like, yeah, you know, you might not get a whack at Cam Ward. I understand that, but maybe he should have been there. Maybe Andrew Berry should have been at Cam Ward's pro day, even though I don't think he's going to be able to get him. Do you believe that Andrew Berry should have been at Cam Ward's pro day yesterday?
I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think, honestly, I heard you guys talking about this. I had teammates throughout my career who they would say, man, I never thought I'd get drafted by this team. And sometimes those teams don't do those things because they don't want to put out the scent that they're interested. Not that this would be the case. Obviously, everyone knows the Browns are interested in the quarterback. But I know they had him in for a 30 visit. But it also could be one of those things that they just know if somehow, some way, Tennessee doesn't take Cam Ward, they know they're going to take him with number two pick. There's no more due diligence that needs to be made. They know that if they're drafting a quarterback with that second pick, it's only Cam Ward. And really, I mean, at this point, they're probably saying Tennessee's going to draft him. And if they don't, we know we're going to take him. There's nothing more we need to go see live and in person.
Yeah, I tried to make the case, Brian, that, you know, a smart front office is going to take as much information into account as they possibly can. They're also going to talk to as many people that go to these things. Not to mention that I brought up Sam Darnold and Geno Smith and how quarterbacks end up maybe getting tossed away with their first team, and then they could be available down the road, and maybe you'd harken back to a conversation or to something you saw or something you might have heard at something way back when that could also, you know, when you least expect it, become a factor. I would imagine you'd want to go to everything that you possibly could.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And I know of coaches and teams that they would literally bring people in for their 30 visit knowing that they might not have a chance of getting them, but having a better understanding of who the person is, who the player is, kind of behind the scenes. Not so much, I think at this point, I mean, other than, I guess, the receiver, what was his name, Xavier down in Miami, ran like a 4.8. I mean, those are one of those shock things that are going to really affect someone's status. But at this point, I don't want to say, you know, metaphorically the hay's in the barn when it comes to like the physical attributes, especially these quarterbacks. These teams, they've been scouting these guys for the past 2 years. They've seen them do all the things that they could possibly do. But those 30 visits are pretty interesting because you know that realistically you might only be able to draft a few of those guys. But I do know of some teams who would bring people in knowing that most likely they weren't going to have a chance at them, but they're trying to gather as much information that way when they hit free agency 4 or 5 years down the road, they have a good understanding of who the person is. So you're right. I mean, look, for all we know, it's like a smokescreen. Oh, no, we know that Cam Ward's not going to be there. That's the one thing you'll never understand is what's the true agenda here. Are they trying to send a message by not sending a message? And sometimes teams want to play that game, and sometimes maybe it works out for them, and sometimes it doesn't.
What was your pro day like?
My pro day was pretty fun. I had basically, for me, I was looking at getting drafted, which I didn't, but the Carolina Panthers, the Denver Broncos, I think the Washington Redskins. And so those guys sent their offensive coordinators out. They put me through a workout, and then I got to meet individually with them, each coordinator, about 15, 20 minutes before or after the pro day. And honestly, my most memorable pre-draft workout was when Bill O'Brien, who was the quarterback coach of the Patriots, came up to work me out individually. I don't know if people know this, but obviously there's the pro day, but if teams want to have you do a separate workout, they can send a coach and you can work out as many times as you want. And so he came out to work me out at Michigan State. And when I tell you, he put me through some drills and I was like, man, if this is what it takes to play quarterback in the NFL, there's no way I'm going to make it. He'd have me roll out all the way to the right, throw like a 25 yard run back route to the left. I mean, he put me through the whole gamut, but that was the one that I remember the most. And oddly enough, it was the team I ended up going to.
Boy, that's really interesting, Brian, because you talk about it. Now, obviously, you had a lengthy NFL career that 99% of quarterbacks that ever played the game at any level would have aspired to have the type of career you did. But then you look back and you're like, but I didn't get drafted. How do you look at it now that it's all over and you're doing different things and you still could have a career in football, whether it's media or coaching? And you look back, are you salty about that experience, the fact that you felt like you were overlooked? Or do you think maybe the teams were right at the time and you had to get better?
Yeah, you know, the way I look at it is everything happens for a reason. And had I been drafted by Carolina, guess who they would have drafted 2 years down the road? Cam Newton. I mean, who knows what my career would have been. I think for me, I went to the right place at the right time, and I got to learn from obviously Coach Belichick, but being in the room with Tom Brady every single day prepared me and showed me what it took to be an NFL quarterback. And I definitely improved from coming in as an undrafted guy to by the time I got there to be playing in Cleveland, I had improved so much as a player just by learning from him, seeing how to prepare. And so it's funny to look back and you see the names of guys that were drafted ahead of you. And I mean, half of them didn't even make it to their third year. But for me, it was about going to the right place, which we've talked about before, right? If you're a quarterback coming into the draft, sometimes it's more about where you go than when you go. And I've said this, and I think all of these guys.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March. So Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys would be successful regardless of where they end up, but when you look at the top quarterbacks in our league right now, they all pretty much went to a good situation when it came to the team that they went to, whether it was Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. I mean, these guys went to, I want to call them steady organizations. I mean, the Bengals probably the worst of all of those that I just mentioned, but they went to legit teams and didn't have to be quote unquote the savior right away. And I think that's kind of the issue that a lot of the guys that have gone to the Browns, I mean, we've seen the jersey, right, with all the different names on it. I think the Browns are always looking for that savior when it comes to quarterback, and they've had guys who've turned out to be good players elsewhere. I mean, look at Baker Mayfield. You're telling me you don't wish you still had Baker playing for you right now? It's just, it's hard when you're a young quarterback, you're thrust in that position, and the team really isn't built around you to win. Sometimes going as one of those top picks isn't always as good as maybe going to the right place.
Brian Hoyer joining us here on the show. So Jameis is headed to New York to play with the Giants. Is Aaron Rodgers holding up everything right now for who the Browns might get as a veteran quarterback to start the season?
Yeah, I think there's that. That's that last domino that needs to fall when it comes to veteran quarterbacks, and Aaron's taking his time making that decision. But clearly, he's only got one place that is interested. That it seems like he has mutual interest in that's Pittsburgh. And so I get it. I understand why he wanted to kind of hold out and see what Minnesota wanted to do, because I'm sure he wants to go into the best possible situation to win right away. But they've committed to J.J. McCarthy, and I think with Pittsburgh, it's a very intriguing option, because you know you're going to get him for a year, maybe two. Is this an opportunity for Pittsburgh to go out, get a veteran guy who, look, the more I watch Aaron at the end of last year, he started to get further away from that Achilles injury. I actually think he made a lot of throws that remind me of the old Aaron Rodgers. Now, he's not going to be as mobile as he used to be, but you pair him up with DK Metcalf and Pickens and Freiermuth. I mean, those are some big targets, and no one really Aaron's still a top 5-10 thrower when it comes to throwing of the football. So it's an intriguing option. I also think pairing him with Mike Tomlin is one of those fits where I think Aaron would have a lot of respect for Mike Tomlin. So it's an interesting situation. I mean, I'm sure Russell Wilson's probably hoping that Aaron would make a decision so he could figure out where he's going to land. So it is interesting, because there's these dominoes that fall when it comes to the quarterback market, and this one's just taking a little bit longer than most people are used to.
Well, Brian, that was going to be my next one. Does it end up being basically like Russell Wilson's going to end up being the quarterback for the Browns from what it looks like?
Yeah, I mean, look, if Aaron ends up going to Pittsburgh, I mean, you want to talk about writing on the wall. Like, if you're Russell Wilson, the Steelers are basically waiting forever to decide if Aaron will come there. It's basically they've told you goodbye without saying goodbye. And so for Russell, as you mentioned, Jameis, which, man, I think he's like a national treasure. I'm sure you guys had a lot of fun covering him last year when he's saying, "I'm just praying that the Lord deliver me from pick sixes." I was like, man, I never thought about that, but it's an interesting way to think about it. But clearly Russell's not going to New York. Doesn't seem like Pittsburgh is wanting him back, so Cleveland is probably his best option at this point.
Brian Hoyer with us right now on the hotline. I'm trying to think about how there are so many different ideas on concepts from college to the NFL. And I see a debate all the time being waged about whether it's easier to play the position like your rookie year at quarterback in the NFL. Because you see guys that can come out and play well immediately, and then maybe they hit that wall because the rest of the league kind of figures them out. But with all that said, do you think, like, if the Browns took Shedeur Sanders or Jackson Dart, like, those guys, despite limitations they may have, still might be able to have decent rookie years?
Well, yeah, I think the one thing, and I know I've said this before, is you have a head coach who has gotten a lot out of his quarterbacks, no matter where he's been, whether it was in Minnesota, with Case Keenum, and then obviously Kirk Cousins, or even I look to when Joe Flacco came in, 2 years ago, kind of in the middle of the year, and had this great run. I think Kevin Stefanski and his staff, I know Tommy Rees, the new offensive coordinator, another guy I know really well, Chad O'Shea, like, you have some really good coaches when it comes to the offensive side of the ball, and you have decent talent. Now, you guys can confirm this for me, but I did read that it sounds like Nick Chubb could be coming back. So you bring him back and add him back to the mix. I do think that those guys, when I'm referring to those coaches, will have a good plan to be able to protect a rookie quarterback, 100%. I think so much in this league is about the coaching and the game planning you get. And I think Kevin Stefanski and his staff, I mean, I really do think the Browns in that area are lucky to have those guys, having gone through the ups and downs that they've dealt with at the quarterback position. So I do feel like Stefanski and his staff will have a good plan if it is ends up being that they draft a guy with the second pick, or even trade back in to the first round to get a Jackson Dart. I think they'll have a good understanding of how to manage that.
Brian, pretty contentious debate going on both politically and with the fans in Cleveland about the dome versus, you know, rehabbing the existing site right now for the stadium. What do you think, just as somebody who grew up in Northeast Ohio, also saw what the Crafts were able to do with Gillette, you know, down the road up in New England?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm old school. To me, the Browns belong downtown on the water. And for me, I look at that as an advantage. You know, you're playing the AFC North. You want to have that tough mentality. You want to be out in the cold, be in the elements. But from a fan's perspective, I get it. And I will say, you know, the Patriots didn't have a history of being in Boston. So having Gillette Stadium down in Foxborough, which I didn't, when I came to play for the Patriots, I didn't even know where Foxborough was. I didn't know where Boston was, any of those things. So I think what they're trying to create is very similar to what the Crafts created here in Foxborough and Patriot Place. And you're going to have a lively environment that not just includes the stadium. So I see it from both perspectives, but for me, I'm old school, and I think the Browns belong in open air stadium out on the lake. And I always thought, you know, football weather and growing up in Cleveland, that's when it snows, that's when you want to go be playing football. And to me, I don't think you want to take that advantage away. Now you got to be willing to embrace those conditions. I mean, for us, when we played here in New England, we never practiced inside. It didn't matter if it was minus 15 degrees. I've had teammates get frostbite on their fingers because Bill made us go out and practice when it was a wind chill of about minus 15. So you have to embrace those conditions. I know that maybe for the fans, that's not always as comfortable, but I think the one thing, and I don't know who said this, I heard you guys play a little audio clip today, is, you know, what fans really want is a team that wins. And I can't agree more with that. I think if the Browns became a perennial playoff team, I don't think the fans are going to care whether they're playing outside, you know, down by the lake, or playing in Brook Park. I think ultimately the best thing for the organization is to figure out a way to win football games.
Brian, we thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, friend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Brian Hoyer on the show lent us his, well, we lent our ears about what he had to say, backed up what he said about Joe Milton and the situation going on with Aaron Rodgers. Could it be Russell Wilson there, Tone?
Well, I thought it was interesting. Yeah, it very well could be. Players are getting frostbite. I mean, you have a union. What is going on with players? I guess Belichick is immune to when you're on a Super Bowl team and competing for Super Bowls every year.
It's,
I guess,
the difference.
Guys aren't really going to raise a stink because we know what happens to them. Just, I think Belichick's probably more powerful than even the NFL union.
Throw a blanket over it, it becomes the Patriot way. What else is there to say? So there's the Russell Wilson to get to, the Nick Chubb, which I'll probably have to get to at another point, because I'm becoming more and more hopeful that Nick Chubb comes back. And that stadium issue, where, yeah, if you were winning, I think it'd just be a lot, simply a lot different based on the reaction of what we're seeing about people who want the Browns to stay downtown or whether or not they want to go to Brook Park.